Praise ye the Lord, and to Jesus be all the glory forever and ever. I want to welcome you to today's session of Divine Inspiration. And I wish to share with us on the subject, celebrate people, don't castigate people. Celebrate people, don't castigate people. I take my Bible reading from the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 3, and from verse 25 to verse 29. John chapter 3, verse 25 to verse 29. And there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Some of John's disciples and the Jews. And they came to John and said to him, the Jews came to him and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified. I want you to know those words. He who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified. In other words, the one you baptized, the one you testified about, the one you did so much good to, the one you helped, simply speaking. Behold, he's baptizing and all are coming to him. I want to note the word he's baptizing. That means he's also doing what you did to him and to others. He's also engaging in baptism and baptizing people. And the interesting part of it is, or amazing part is, that everyone is coming to him. That's another way of saying he has emptied our patronage. He has emptied our auditorium. Another way of saying is, more people are now going to him. Everyone is following him. Although Jesus did not baptize except his disciples, but of course, a large crowd started to follow him. Verse 27, it says, John answered. Now, when they reported this matter to John the Baptist, a lot of them were hoping that John the Baptist would be upset. A lot of them were expecting John the Baptist to be ruffled. They were expecting John the Baptist to react negatively. They were expecting John the Baptist to castigate him or relegate him or attack him, criticize him, condemn him, like what obtains in our days now. If John the Baptist were to be some other folks in our contemporary time, in our modern time, he probably would have castigated Jesus and said things like, we don't know where he got his power from, or we don't know who ordained him, or I wonder how he is making the crowd, or I wonder how he's making his money. Let's assume they are business people. Maybe John is into some form of business, and Jesus is into another form of business, maybe agricultural business, maybe manufacturing business. Maybe both of them are engineers, and at some point Jesus was understanding him, and Jesus spent some time with him, and now Jesus has set up his own company or his own organization and appears to be doing far better than John the Baptist is doing. And then people who are loyal to John, people who love the product of John, goes to John the Baptist and reports and said, look, the guy you trained has now started cornering your, you know, there's a way they'll put it, he has started cornering your customers. The guy you trained is now doing much better, or the guy you trained has more open doors. He has more open doors and more patronage, and the volume of business transaction he's doing has exceeded yours. You know, we have all these events happening in ministry, in business world, in politics, and so on and so forth. But the focus here today is celebrate people, don't castigate them. Now, John the Baptist replied and said to the people who were concerned about John the Baptist's ministry. They were concerned about John the crowd. They were concerned about loyalty. They were concerned about the growth of John the Baptist's ministry. Now, their thinking is, all the people following Jesus now, the crowd following Jesus now, they ought to be following John the Baptist. The people going for baptism before Jesus ought to be going to John the Baptist. This massive and mammoth crowd following Jesus now, they ought to be going to John the Baptist. So the loyalists and the faithfuls of John the Baptist were so concerned. So they reported the matter to John. And this is what actually brings trouble in ministry. Most of the ministers who fight one another or fight each other, people in business, people in politics who fight each other, you know, it doesn't start there. It's their loyalists, their faithfuls, their disciples who usually bring about the poisonous words. They bring about the evil seed. Those who are under them. Now, recall that Lot and Abraham did not actually have issues directly against each other. There was no issues between Lot and Abraham. The Bible says the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot, they are the ones involved in the fracas. They were the ones involved in the war, in the battle, in the misunderstanding. And they carried it over to the top. They went and poisoned the hearts of their individual masters, so to speak. So the herdsmen of Lot went and poisoned Lot's heart. And they started to say things that ordinarily Lot should have overlooked, but they enlarged it, they amplified it, they poisoned his heart. And then the herdsmen of Abraham too probably went to Abraham, poisoned Abraham's heart, and said, my Lord Abraham, see what this guy is doing. He's ungrateful for all you did to him. He has turned his back against you. And you know, we have that obtained today, you know, in the world in which we live. People who are loyal to us most times are the one who comes to sow evil poisons, a seed of discord against the other party. You know, and because they are our loyalists, the tendency is for us to accept and believe and dance to their tune. But John the Baptist did something very amazing here, which everyone should learn from. When they came to John and said, the guy you baptized, the guy you mentored, the guy you trained, that guy you raised up, that guy you recommended, that guy you spoke about him publicly in a good manner. It was the guy you said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the guy you told everybody to listen to him, that is God's stuff. Now he's getting more crowd than you are getting. More people are going to him to be baptized. John, you've got to do something about this. Otherwise, your ministry is under a great threat. But amazingly, John said in verse 27, John chapter 3, verse 27, John the Baptist answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Wow, I love these words. I appreciate John for these words. See how he doused the tension. Look at how John quelled the fire. Look at how John, you know, pacified the raging storm, the raging anger. And God wants us to learn from this, especially those of us who are leaders. God wants us to learn. Don't base your action on hearsay. Don't conclude your matter on hearsay. You know, some of our faithfuls and loyalists, some of our disciples, so to speak, they have a way of presenting matters that if we are not careful, you know, we can take decisions that could be detrimental, you know, as a result of that. So the Bible says John responded and said to his guys who were raging. These guys were raging and they were saying that, John, you need to do something about this. You have to castigate this guy. You have to condemn his actions. You have to relegate him, etc., etc. But John said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from above. Hallelujah. I pray every leader, every believer will have this same kind of heart. I pray every one of us will walk in the same, in the same character combined with attitude. You know, when people are raging and storms raging and all that, and John realized that, look, this is Jesus who is called of God. Anything he does and he prospers is for the good of the entire kingdom. All of us will be happy when he prospers. And that's the kind of heart God wants the church, every one of us believers, to possess. You know, we don't need to be jealous. We don't need to be envious. We don't need to pull down ourselves. We don't need to castigate and relegate ourselves to the background. We don't need to stagnate the other guy. We don't need to say negative words to stagnate him, to castigate him. We don't need to take certain negative actions to destroy his ministry. Now, we need to understand this. I am not talking about a situation where it is very clear the person involved is involved in occultism or involved in some shady deals. You know, the Bible says that he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask God and he will give him. We need the spirit of wisdom and discernment to help us understand, especially in this present time. I'm aware of the fact that there are a lot of fake people out there. I'm aware of the fact that there are lots of people who have dipped their hands into strange things to get success, to have breakthroughs, and to have some accomplishments. Yes, we understand that. But for those who are genuine, for those who are real, and you know it, and the Holy Spirit bears witness in your spirit, what's the use of pulling them down? What's the use of castigating them? Rejoice with them that rejoice, the Bible declares. Be happy with those who are happy. You know, your success will come also. Your own accomplishment and breakthrough will also come when you rejoice with those who rejoice. The scripture says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. That's another way of John the Baptist saying, look, let's celebrate this our brother. He's doing a great work. I'm aware he's from God. Why should I be jealous? Why should I stop him from baptizing? Why should I stop the crowd from following him? Listen, if it was in our time, the fellow may likely relegate Jesus to the background through words and actions. You know, he will go ahead and block doors for him. He'll go ahead and report him to some authorities and say, be careful about this guy. I don't have anything against him. I'm just warning you, just be careful. That's all I will say. Each time you say be careful, that speaks volumes. You've already stagnated his ministry. You've already castigated him. You've already blocked the doors. I mean, if you come to me and say be careful about this guy, of course, I understand if he's occultic, if he's a strange bedfellow, if he's a kind of a person that has dipped his hands into evil things, of course, we need to be careful. But we're talking about those who are genuine. And as a result of envy and jealousy, we want to castigate and relegate them instead of celebrating them. God wants us to celebrate one another, because your own time of celebration will also come in Jesus' name. Now, also, I want you to note that if it was in our time, a few people will say, well, we don't understand where he got his power from. And that's what the Pharisees said to Jesus. You know, out of envy and jealousy, Matthew chapter number 12, you find the story there. You know, if you read from verse number 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12, and then you read through verse 37, you see the story there. They said Jesus was casting out demons through Beelzebub. You know, out of envy, he's casting out demons through Beelzebub. And rather than celebrate this man, they castigated him. Friends, let us celebrate one another. Don't pull down that guy. Don't pull down that brother. Don't pull down that sister because of envy. You know how tightly he's doing a great job for the kingdom. You know how tightly he's doing a great job, and his business and career is doing well. And you know he's in the good books of God. We know that what he's doing is genuine. Why don't we join hands together and build what he's doing? It's for the good of the kingdom. When one member of the kingdom prospers, all of us have prospered. If we have this kingdom mentality and we understand that we are members of the body of Christ, and one member of the body is doing well, we are all doing well. Why do you want to excise one part of the body? You see, when you excise and destroy a part of the body, the entire body will feel the pain. That's the wisdom we need to understand. And the kingdom of darkness understands this. Let us understand that God still does wonders in the lives of people. So the fact that somebody's ministry is advancing quickly, the fact that somebody's business is prospering fast, the fact that somebody's career is on a fast track, we are easy to say, well, we don't know the kind of power he's using. We don't know the kind of fraud he's involved in. We don't know the kind of people he has mixed with. We don't know the source of his wealth. Come on! Are we saying that only the devil can make people prosper quickly? Are we saying that only the devil can give people power to heal the sick? Are we saying that only the devil can give people success in life and ministry and career and in academics? We must be kidding if we think so. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. Hear what it says. Daniel 1 17. It says, and to these four children, God gave them wisdom, understanding, and skill in all learning. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Who gave them? God gave them. If those guys were living our time, some people would say they are using voodoo or they are into witchcraft. But the Bible says in Daniel 1:17, God gave them wisdom. So they outshined their equals, and people began to think, what are these guys using? Are you saying that Exodus 31 verse 1 to 6, where the Bible says, God said, I have called Bezalel, and I have filled him with spirit of wisdom and skill and cunning and understanding and craft to make craft. I have called Bezalel by name. I have now filled him with wisdom to invent, ingenious. Bezalel was a genius. It was in our time we say we don't know where he got that wisdom from. Maybe he has made covenant with demons. Maybe he has made covenant with occultic people. My dear friend, God still gives skills. God can help people fast track their destiny. So let us not be jealous. Let us not castigate. Let us celebrate one another. Well, I pray in the name that is above every name, in this season, you and I shall be celebrated in Jesus' mighty name. Until I come your way again in the next part of this teaching, my name is Boyega Shitta. Remain blessed and keep rising from glory to glory in Jesus' name.